The Samsung Galaxy Buds FE are the perfect partner for your smartphone. Stay immersed thanks to active noise cancellation with AI technology that filters out unwanted background noise. Listen to your audio in comfort hour after hour with the new wingtip design and easy touch controls that make changing settings a breeze. That's a lot to love for just £99 RRP. The new Galaxy Buds FE. Buy now at Samsung.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, December 14th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, climate change isn't just disrupting weather patterns and crop growth. It's also breaking the insurance industry. Now, new kinds of insurers are using technology to take on calculated risks. WSJ Tech columnist Christopher Mims tells us how the shift will affect the insurance industry and customers. And then, after dominating the EV market at home, Chinese car makers are setting their sights abroad. For some big players, that means setting up more manufacturing facilities in Thailand. WSJ reporter Selena Chang tells us why it's a strategic move for these companies and what it says about China's global EV ambitions. But first, in parts of the country, including California and Florida, major insurance companies have stopped selling new policies because intensifying floods, storms, and fires have made payouts too expensive. Now, a new type of insurer has arrived to fill in the gap. Startups that are using technology like sensors to capture the effects of extreme weather in real time or to make more accurate predictions. WSJ technology columnist Christopher Mims joins us with more. Christopher, why are we seeing this shift now?
A big driver of it is that we're starting to see more impacts from climate change in terms of extreme weather. And of course, that's coinciding with the fact that we're just building more infrastructure and it's in harm's way. So, you know, it's kind of at the intersection of the housing crisis or population growth and climate change. Big name insurers like Allstate and others have said, we're just not going to write new homeowners policies in California, specifically there because of the risk of forest fires.
Let's talk about some of these new insurance companies. How are they using technology to take on these calculated risks?
A big one is called parametric insurance, which, you know, it's a super nerdy concept, but it basically just means that instead of traditional insurance, which is that, you know, your house gets knocked over by a hurricane and the insurer pays the replacement cost, you agree with the insurer in advance. Hey, if something happens, water rises to a certain height, you owe me X number of dollars, and that caps the liability of the insurer. But of course, it puts the obligation for calculating how much that insurance amount should be onto the customer. And one of the ways that technology is enabling this is there's just more sensors in the environment. The customer can make these incredibly specific bets. Like one customer I talked to, they have a warehouse in Freeport, Texas Gulf Coast, and they put an Internet of Things sensor on this warehouse. And if the floodwaters rise to 8 inches, they get an automatic $3 million payout.
In order to participate in the insurance with some of these newer companies, do you have to agree to have a sensor on whatever the insurance is covering?
No, there's just so much more data now. Some people are making bets with these insurers where it's like, what if there is a burn scar on this land that I own that is above X number of square meters? You know, and they can tell that sort of thing from satellites now. So one insurer I talked to called Plover, they say they're peril agnostic. Like you could get insurance from them on anything. It's what for years reinsurance companies like Munich and Swiss and Lloyd's have done, where they'll write these incredibly specific contracts, but it's being democratized. Now, individual businesses can get this kind of insurance. Homeowners, there's a restaurant in Florida and they have one of these sensors and it's like, hey, if the water gets to 24 inches, we get a payout to rebuild our restaurant.
How does this protect the companies from taking on too much risk?
For the companies, they're protecting themselves in two ways. One is there's a flat payout, so they're not liable for excess damages that they couldn't anticipate. And also, all of these companies, they're staffed by people who used to work in a lot of cases for these sophisticated reinsurers and some of the insurers that have the best and most sophisticated data science in the world because they're backstopping other insurance companies. And so one of their claims is we have better data. So like one company that I talked to called Kettle, they said we evaluated every property in the state of California and we ranked them from the highest risk to the lowest. And obviously we're not insuring the highest risk properties.
That was our tech columnist, Christopher Mims. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, what does China's push into car manufacturing in Thailand tell us about its plans for the global EV market? That's after the break.
Hi, I'm Andy Serwer, Barron's Editor-at-Large. On my new podcast, At Barron's, I'm bringing you inside the C-suite for insights from today's top leaders in business, technology, finance, entertainment, and economics. Our guests will offer their unique insight into their companies and industries and the challenges and experience that made them the leaders they are today. Listen to new episodes of At Barron's every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Chinese automakers are winning over millions of customers worldwide with affordable EVs. Now, they're furthering their ambitions to dominate the global EV market by expanding manufacturing into Thailand. Here to tell us what that means for Asia's car manufacturing capital and the EV market at large is WSJ reporter Selena Chang. Selena, who are the Chinese companies competing against?
Chinese companies are looking to edge out some of the world's incumbent car powerhouses. European and Japanese car makers such as Volkswagen and Toyota are the ones that are sold globally with a lot of market share. And also they're eyeing Tesla as well, because Tesla is currently the EV world power right now, dominating most markets in the world, except in China.
Gas-powered cars from China have not dominated the global market. But Chinese EV makers have seen worldwide success, including their biggest EV maker, BYD. Tell us a little bit more about BYD and what makes EVs different.
BYD is a company that rose up in recent years in China, even though they've been around for around 20 years. They've sold very well in China. The growth is incredible. And they're now looking at selling their passenger cars abroad as well. China has produced gas cars and exported them, but mostly to second or third tier markets and the less developed parts of the world because they're cheaper and the quality is not as great as Japanese or European or American cars. But with EVs, because they've never been doing that well in gas-powered car segment, you don't have as much of a burden of these sizable profits that you're already making that you would look to forego if you move into something entirely new. So that gave the freedom and opportunity for some of these companies to really put in all they have, all their investment, R&D, and talents into making EVs.
We were talking about how these Chinese EV makers were sort of eyeing more of the market share. What will it take for them to realize those ambitions?
So for now, China has started with exporting from mainland China. They have a lot of manufacturing capability and capacity in mainland China. They've been exporting to Europe, South America, Russia in particular in these 2 years. The next step really is to set up manufacturing footprint outside of the country so that they could export to regions close to those manufacturing bases at a much lower cost in terms of logistics and also possibly tariffs.
Tell me how Thailand fits into all this.
Thailand has always been one of Asia's biggest auto export hubs outside of Japan. It's called Detroit of Asia because there are so many Japanese companies already manufacturing there and exporting out of Thailand. So Thailand is really a pretty mature market for cars, and also it has a very mature supply chain for Japanese car makers. So if they start manufacturing in Thailand, then they could export to Vietnam, for example, tariff-free, because there are these Southeast Asian free trade pacts between these countries.
What exactly is being produced in Thailand versus mainland China?
So in Thailand, at the moment, it manufactures mostly gasoline cars, mostly Japanese brands as well as some European brands. And so that is very different from China, where more than half of the cars manufactured and sold are EVs, and where the market is very much focused and zoned in on EVs instead of petroleum cars.
It makes sense that
this is a good move for Chinese EV makers. Is it a good move for Thailand? Like, does it benefit the country? What has the Thai government said about this?
The Thai government has set a goal for itself in 2030, where 30% of cars manufactured there will be new energy cars. And it's provided a lot of benefits to lure foreign car makers, especially Chinese ones, in to produce EVs locally, as well as offered benefits in terms of imports so that EVs could be imported to the Thai market without that much of an added cost as well. So they're hoping that these measures will boost consumers' demand for EV in the country. And as more and more of these businesses set up in the country to produce EVs, then it could move towards this direction in the future. So if they want to catch up and continue to have its place in the global car industry, then it would have to transition into EVs. But that, of course, is assuming that EV ends up being the dominating force in the global car market.
That was our reporter, Selena Chang. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsap. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.